Well, good afternoon. We're back. We're sleepy. We're full. We're ready to go home, some of us. But we're here to study the Word of God, and I always enjoy that. And I thought this afternoon we would speak for a little bit about being perfect. Since we were blessed with Brother Bill this weekend, if you ask him, he will tell you he is perfect. He is good looking. He's a good man. But how many of us, seriously, all kidding aside, when we look in the mirror, we look in the mirror and say, I'm perfect. I don't think any of us do that. So what I would like to ask you to do this afternoon is I'd like you to take a little exercise, go back into your mind. What would have to happen? What would you have to do? What would have to occur for you to be able to look in the mirror and say, I am perfect? Don't know that it's possible. We'd like to be perfect. We'd like to be good. We'd like to be everything that we think we ought to be. What would it take? What's the criteria? Well, in our society, we judge each other by appearances. If I was pretty, I've never had that problem. But if I was pretty and I looked in the mirror, I'd say, good looking guy. But you know, pretty changes. When I was a teenager, 70s, you had to be really skinny. Then in the 80s, you had to be really athletic. And then J-Lo come along, and you couldn't be skinny anymore. I mean, it changes. I'm talking about women, because women tend to worry about it more than men. We don't really care what we look like 90% of the time, in case you hadn't figured that out. But we want to be good looking. We want to be at least pleasant to look at. No. But that changes. It changes with time. It changes with the decade. Well, what else? We could be, well, what's our achievements? I used to be really down on myself and really feel bad and felt a little less worth than I probably should have because I didn't have a college degree. So I went and got one. I don't feel any different. I really don't. Oh, it was good for, you know, a week or two. I thought, ooh, I got a college degree. Now, who cares? Everybody's got one. Who cares? So it's not necessarily achievement that makes us perfect, is it? Well, how about if everybody likes me, then I know that I'm perfect because people will like a perfect person. I don't know of a soul that everybody likes. I mean, even politicians, they get up around 80-90%. They think they are in heaven. Because nobody likes everybody. It's just not possible. Well, the most toys, that's how men, women like to be pretty, boys like toys. How much money have I got? How well did I do in my career? That means I'm good, right? If I've got a lot of money, then I'm a good guy. I've worked hard and people like me and they gave me money. And so that makes me good, right? Does that make me perfect? Well, the problem with all four of those things is that they're not stable. Okay, what makes you happy, what is an achievement one day is not the next. What is a lot of money in one decade is not a lot of money in the next decade. What is pretty one minute is not pretty the next minute. People like you and then they get a bellyache and they don't like you. It's just that simple. Everything changes. It is constant flux. If you use these four things to guide your life to say, when I do this, 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 and this, I am perfect, you will never achieve perfection because it's not possible. It's not possible. We cannot let exterior things make us feel our self-worth. I cannot let how you feel about me affect how I feel about me. I can't let how much money I have in the bank affect how I feel about myself. I would really be a mess if that were the case. So, how do we judge ourselves? How do we build self-esteem? Well, we build it when we finally understand and come to the conclusion of how much God loves us. It changes the way we see ourselves. If we look at how God looks at us, then we look at ourselves differently. And a good example of this, almost a classic example of this, is Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19, we find the beginning of the story of Zacchaeus. Verse 1, Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree for to see him, for he was to pass that way. All right, Zacchaeus. We'll go reading on here in a minute, but let's think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a lot of money. Okay, we'll give him that one. He was not anything at all to look at. How do I know that? Well, he was of little stature. Again, no matter what a guy looks like, if he's short, he's not pretty. It's just the way it is. He was an achiever. Yeah, about the only thing he'd ever done was charge people too much, probably. Roman tax collectors were notorious for overcharging people. The reason was because in the Roman system of government, you were told how much money to collect. If you collect more than that, you keep it. Zacchaeus was rich, so he apparently was good at it. He apparently was really good at it. If you were a Roman tax collector and you were a Jew, your family would disown you. You would be considered worse than a murderer. You were considered a traitor. You'd be looked at with contempt. And I don't believe they let him into synagogues. You'd have to look in history to find out for sure, but I don't think they did. I think they were pretty well outcasts. So let's look at our four things. How was Zacchaeus doing? Well, Zacchaeus was rich. He was rich. If you feel a little empty, if you feel a little down, you know, you're probably in a really good place today, because this is where we get self-worth, is the church. How do we know that we can have hope when things are going wrong? Because we know that we have God. So let's look at what happens here. No matter how bad I feel, I know that Jesus Christ will notice me. You see what happened to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted a glimpse of Christ. He wanted to see Christ. He'd done what no middle-aged Middle Eastern man would ever do. He'd done what a child would do. He ran through a crowd. He climbed a tree. Can you imagine a wealthy status person running through a crowd to climb a tree? Okay, so he didn't have a lot going for him. But here's what happened. Jesus looked up and he saw him in verse 5. And he says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Well, why do you think Jesus did that? Because he knew Zacchaeus' heart. He knew Zacchaeus wanted to see him. He knew that Zacchaeus didn't feel good about himself. He knew that Zacchaeus was looking for a different way. He knew he wasn't content, or else he wouldn't have been there. So he was looking. So he got up. He said, "I'm going to go to your house today." Can you imagine God paying that much attention to you? You know, we get feeling worthless sometimes. I know, and I've had those days. But He is looking at us every second of every day. He just looks down on us. Luke 12:17, Jesus said, "Even the hairs of your head are numbered." You ever think about that? God knows how many hairs are on your head. I don't know why He cares. Because He cares. Because He truly cares about us. The deepest expression of love that we can give somebody is attention. It really is. The number one thing that people feel most neglected about is when people don't pay them any attention. What's the number one complaint of older people? Number one complaint I hear is he never comes in. I took my dad to 3 states in a week one time. And he said, "You never come over to see me." "Dad, I've been in the car with you for 5 days straight. What do you mean I never come and see you?" "Well, you don't. You'll come visit." But it is. That's the thing. Love and attention come hand in hand. Look at children. When they're going to do something just a little bit out of the ordinary, what do they do? "Look at me, look at me, look at me. Daddy, look at me. Mommy, look at me." They want that attention. Well, I'm here to tell you, God looks at you all the time. You don't have to get His attention. You already got it. You've already got it. Adults want to be noticed too. You know, I'm sorry, but when I see a young child, young lady especially, walking down the street and she's half dressed, in my mind, what she's really screaming is, "Look at me. Somebody look at me." And I really feel like that's what it is. It's they just don't feel loved. They don't feel, if they felt loved, they wouldn't feel the need to dress like that. But it's that idea of attention. It's that idea of who's watching me. It's that idea of self-worth. There's no worth there. Or at least not in their mind. But there is to God. For our own well-being, we need to stop depending on other people and depend on God. Because He will not fail us. He won't fail us. All his life, probably Zacchaeus had been ridiculed. Probably why he became a tax collector. The word, the Greek word in Luke here, of little stature, does not mean short. What it means is having a child's body. This man never grew up. He was probably what we call a dwarf or midget today. And so he wasn't politically correct in them days. So he got made fun of, I'm sure. So what did he do? He lashed out and became a tax collector. "I'll teach these people to make fun of me." And he was good at it. But he still wasn't happy. He still was not happy. He was still looking for something. And Jesus was that thing he was looking for. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. You know, I know it's almost a cliche and we've heard it over and over again. But, you know, there are two kinds of paintings on the wall. There's paintings that are worth something and paintings that are worthless. But the reason that is because one is a masterpiece. One, someone with talent took hours, maybe months, to create. And the other one is a print. Or it's one that's just a copy of something that's, you know, there's millions of them out there. Nobody cares about them. Okay, we are not mass produced. Do you realize that? We have similarities to other people, but when you really stop and think about it, you know, two eyes, two ears, two nose, or nose, two nose. No, I'm not tired. A nose and a mouth. And we're going to look a little bit alike. I mean, in your family, you're going to look a little bit alike. But honest to goodness, you don't look like anybody else. You look like you. Unless you're, you know, an identical twin or something, you don't look like anybody else. And just our appearance now is different. And I know our personalities are different. And so God created us. Do you agree to that? God created us. And He's created each one of us special. You know that? You are special. And I know you think, well, I've heard that in songs. I've heard that. But it's the truth. You are unique. You're unique. Could you imagine if God had a wallet? Would He have your picture in it? That's silly. It is a little bit. Do you read Isaiah 49:16? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Doesn't need a picture. He's got you right there. Got you right there. When Jesus looks at the scars in His hand, and He does look at the scars in His hand, because Isaiah also goes on to talk about how the angels gathered around Him and looked to see what the wounds in His hand. He looks at those. He sees you. He sees me. Because He did that for us. He did that for us. There's people that's done some really bad things in their life, and I understand that. There's also some people that's had some really bad things done to them in their life. And as much as that hurts us, we need to move on. And, you know, maybe it's because I'm a guy. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm older. Maybe because I'm impatient. I don't know what it is. But my philosophy on so many things anymore is, you know, rub some dirt on it and get up. Because, honest to goodness, if you're with God and God is walking with you and God is your rock, and just get up. Really. Just get up. We really hurt ourselves more than people hurt us. Because we don't let go. We just don't let go. I was teasing Mike the other night. I was getting ready to go to Dairy Queen Friday, Saturday night after church. And Sharon come running across the churchyard because she didn't know we was just going to Dairy Queen. She thought I was leaving. And she wanted to give me a hug, I reckon. And she was running across there, and I said, "Nah, I got to get out and give her one." He's like, "Why?" And I said, "Cause if I don't, she'll be mad at me till she forgets what she's mad about." You know, because we do that, don't we? There's people I know that's in their 70s has been mad at somebody for 60 years and can't remember why, but they remember that they're mad at them. We need to learn to give some things letting go. Rub some dirt in it and let it go. But yet, you know, we see, well, I don't have any value. People were bad to me. People were mean to me. I'm worthless. It's not the case altogether. Jesus wants us. Just like He wanted Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to have lunch with you. Can you imagine how Zacchaeus felt? Been ridiculed all his life, outcast, couldn't go to synagogue. Everybody thought he was worse than murder. And Jesus looked at him and said, "I'm going to come to your house for lunch." My goodness. See, the hardest thing for people to understand, me or anybody else, we feel hatred, we feel hated, and we don't feel like we're worth anything. But we are. We're worth it to God. And I tell you, the reason I can say this with all confidence, verse 7. In verse 7, what did they say? Let me read that. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He's gone to be a guest with man who is a sinner."
Zacchaeus' house.
What was God saying? What was Jesus saying to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, I know you, and Zacchaeus, I love you. That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. We get a little like Zacchaeus. You know, I love the story of the prodigal son. You hear it. I know some people sigh when you mention it because they've heard it so many times. But my goodness, can you think of a better story? Young man, impatient, didn't want to wait on dad to die. I tell Fred, just be patient. I'll die on his day. You can have what little there is that you have. But the thing is, he didn't. He said, give me what I got coming. I'm going to leave it. And so he did. And he went out and he wasted all that money. He got down to where he was feeding pigs. And he was so hungry, he would like to have ate what he was feeding the pigs. And he says, I'm going to go home because I know there are servants, there are slaves in my dad's house. It's got more than enough to eat and I'm starving to death. So he goes down the road, and as he starts down the road and he sees his dad, what happened? Remember? Dad ran to meet him. What did dad do? Say, I knew you'd be back, you big mess up. You blew all my money, didn't you? You just messed everything up. I can't believe it. I knew you'd come crawling back to me. Is that what he said? No. He said, I love you. Welcome home. That's what he said. And so when we sin and we get out there and we get all messed up, and we do, and it's really hard on pew babies because, you know, we've been in church all our lives and we think we ought to be perfect and we're not know really what we're supposed to do when we sin because we're not supposed to sin, and we get out there and we get all messed up. We think God's just not going to care too much for me. When in reality, all we do is just say, I'm sorry. Thing is to mean it. If we mean it, the only thing you're going to get out of God is I love you. Because the price has been paid. You know, that's what I said up here. If Mont Eagle, you know, you get feeling bad, you get thinking there's no grace, no, can't do anything, and you ain't good enough, and like the preacher said, has Jesus sinned? Well, he's the reason you get forgiveness anyway, not you. That's the way Zacchaeus had to feel. Here he was, and he wasn't much. He's awful dirty. Wasn't anything to look at. Read a little story one time, God and the devil were talking. God told the devil he's going to take some stuff away from him out of his arsenal. He said, I'm going to take sickness away from him. I'm going to take poverty away from him. The devil was sitting there, no problem. And he said, I'm going to take discouragement away from you. He said, wait a minute. He said, I got to have that. That's my best weapon. Because all he has to do is get you discouraged. He didn't need anything else to you. He's got to discourage you. That's all. That'll keep us from having a relationship with Christ. We get discouraged. What if I was to take a $50 bill and ask you if you would like to have it? I'm sure all but the shyest people, and Bill, if he was awake, would go, I'll take it. Sure you would. It's a $50 bill. Now, what if I was to take that $50 bill and wad it up into a little bitty ball, throw it down and crunch it and take it out back and rub some dirt in it, and then hold it up and say, would you like this $50 bill? I'd take it. Why? Because it's worth $50. How much is it worth when it's dirty and it's crumpled up and it's got stains on it? It's worth $50. Why? Because it's a $50 bill, right? How much are you worth? How much are you worth dirty and stained and soaked in sin? The exact same amount you was worth before. The exact same amount. God loves us regardless. We are the same value to Him, no matter what. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We can't come to Jesus except God called us to do it. And when we come to Jesus, Jesus said, I'm not throwing one of them out. Not one of them. So if you feel the urge, if you're feeling unworthy, if you feel worthless and you think, I can't even go back to Christ. If you feel the need and the urge to go back to Christ, He's calling you. And He said, if you come to me, I will not cast you out because my Father called you to me. So you see, discouragement is our worst enemy. It really is. It doesn't have to be anything to do with facts. It's just discouragement. God notices everything in our life. God's got a purpose for our life. He's got a plan for our life. I believe that with my whole heart. Zacchaeus, verse 6, what did he do? He hurried up and he came down and he received him joyfully. That's what Zacchaeus did. All right, Jesus is coming to my house. He was excited. He took him up on it, didn't he? Took him up on it. Look what he said in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Zacchaeus was not a rich man after that day. Zacchaeus said, half of what I got I'm giving to the poor. If I took anything from you, Andy, I'll give you four times what I took from you. You know what Jesus said? This day, salvation has come to this house. This day. See, it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about how he looked. It wasn't about whether or not people liked him. It was about Jesus telling him, showing him, proving to him that he had value. He had value to God. That's what it took. And Zacchaeus' heart changed that day. And it changed really, really well that day to God. First demonstration of a changed heart is baptism. I once heard it said that baptism is an outward display of an inward change. And that's what it really is. That's what it really is. It's a public statement that you are no longer worlds, you're God's. You're God's now. It's kind of like what Zacchaeus did when he stood up and he said, half my goods to the poor. Four times if I took anything from you, four times what I took. That was an outward change. And that's the kind of change that we need to make. I've known people who was just terrified of baptism. My goodness, that's such a small price. Such a small price. Also a small price to pay is putting away our pride, putting away our discouragement, and going before the church and saying, I messed up. I need forgiveness. I need prayers. Sometimes it is a little hard to do, but it's worth it. If your heart's truly changed, if you're truly changing for the Lord, you truly want Him, you truly understand how much you mean to Him, and you come back to the Lord, it is a wonderful feeling. Just ask Zacchaeus. He'll tell you all about it. Who's that here this afternoon? He's helped the church. Come forward and make it known.